Hi, I'm Mike Elliott, and you're watching the Cannabis Financial Network. Today, we're joined by Mr. Tim Belvin, who's the CEO of 420 Tech. 420 Tech was created to bring the most relevant retail technology to the cannabis industry while maintaining compliance with each state's reporting and regulatory requirements. Hi, Tim. Thanks for being on the show.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
To start off, can you tell us about 420 Tech and give us an idea of the main cybersecurity issues facing companies today?
So, Mike, I left Microsoft to do another startup and spent a little bit of time trying to look at the problems in this space. And we came up with a set of solution set that we're kind of delivering. What we've observed is that the industry is actually ripe for cybersecurity attacks. And what do I mean by that? Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, the data that's collected by each cannabis-based business has some value in the ecosystem. So everything from transactional data, whether it's B2B or B2C, meaning business-to-business or business-to-consumer, or whether it's keeping that particular dispensary, producer, processor, distributor, cultivator away from their data. In any event, those vulnerabilities exist. And the types of... Mike, can we reset?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You want to do that one again?
Yeah, hang on a second. I got to organize myself a little bit because I've actually got some key points I want to make at the right times in those questions. And the grease board is that I've got those on is right behind me. I thought I'd take a picture and put it on my phone right beside me, and that ain't working. So give me 2 seconds to figure out better configuration so I hit my talking points in a natural way.
Sure, no problem.
Let's see. How am I going to do that? I know what I can do. So, Mike, give a look at my face real quick. So if I do this, is that going to show up on camera bad? Is that going to video bad?
No, I don't think so. Do me a favor. Tilt your camera down just a little bit to get that light off the ceiling and out of the frame. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, that's better.
Okay. So and I do the glance over here so I can move my notes to the side screen that I have. That's okay?
Yeah, that's fine. A lot of people do that. So what I'll do is I'll just read that first question again. We'll do a cut here.
Hold on, reset. I actually have talking points I want to make in that first one, and I blew them both.
No worries. That's why we got that's the beauty of editing. Let me know when you're ready.
Okay. Hang on a sec. Let me send my talking points to me in a way I can get it there. Here we go.
Let me just close this blind and go away over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my office here is not really well suited for this. I have a grease board off to, as you're looking at my photo, be off to my right. And then I have another one off to my left, which is, both of them are out of frame right now. And sadly, I do all my thinking with grease pen and grease board. Normal geek. Okay. Just nailed myself what I needed. Will allow me to keep me from looking off camera. Screen's running. Rotate this thing, split. Okay.
Okay, there's that one. Get that one to open.
Okay.
All set? Ready?
Ready.
Okay. So I'm going to do that first question again.
Okay.
So, Tim, to start off, can you tell us about 420 Tech and give us an idea of the main cybersecurity issues facing companies today?
Hi, Mike. 420 Tech was formed a couple of years ago with the intention of bringing the best of breed line of business applications to the cannabis space. So typical industry verticals, their best practices would apply that in the cannabis way. What we're seeing is that from a cybersecurity or a data security perspective, the cannabis businesses are particularly vulnerable. Specifically, they're vulnerable around their data. And what's happened is, or has been happening, and where the vulnerabilities are, is the bad guy keeping the prospective cannabis entrepreneur from accessing their data in the way that they expect to. And this is really prevalent in states that have a traceability requirement, lacking the ability to access that history to make both business decisions, either as a cultivator or as a processor, or the patient information. It creates some really big potential problems for the cannabis entrepreneur.
So give us examples of a breach and how do they work?
So there's really kind of two levels of breach. One is unauthorized access to my data store, and the other one is keeping me from it. So unauthorized access would be somebody, think about that as somebody's trying to steal your data in some store that you have. This is a true cyber attack where there's some value that the bad guy has in getting your information. Whether he's going to, what he's going to do with it to create that value doesn't really matter, but the attack is the same. They're taking data from you that it's not intended for you to pass on to them. The second one is that they keep you from getting your data, and that has a broader impact than that it prevents your business. It just takes a copy of something that you have that's privileged. Unless they act upon it in a certain way, honestly, most folks don't know. But if they keep you from getting at it and it blocks your production, both are bad and need to be stopped. And need to be prevented to the best they can.
So what sort of measures can be or should be taken to prevent a breach?
Well, let's start with that the whole idea of cybersecurity needs to be a top-down. So the executives and the ownership of the cannabis business really need to pay attention and have that as a foremost priority. How do they protect that information? And we recommend, in fact, all of our products recommend, is data first. It's really difficult, but we're going to give some suggestions on how to keep people off of the rails to get there. So let's start by securing that data in a really fundamental way. The next layer would be access control. Who can and how can they access that data? So whether they're coming in from a website type implementation where the data is hosted somewhere in the cloud and that there's an access point there, or whether it's on a client machine. And the client machine could be anything from a PC or cash register type device to a mobile device, a phone. Another kind of data loss or data prevention strategy has to do with restricting the way the keys people have to get to your data. So, and that begins at really a hardware level. So you authenticate against this piece of hardware, because at least that's something that is not in the ethers, and using that as part of your access methodology will help contain the ability for people to walk in the front door. That doesn't change the things I just talked about. Doesn't change other elements, but that's kind of the base root thing, and that's something every entrepreneur should be doing.
The lyrics from Calendar.
Excuse me. Wonderful calendar notifications on the Mac.
So is that you just finished? It sounded like you just concluded that, but did you?
I did. It's okay. Time to move on, but I kind of almost want to play this back because I think I'm missing some points. I clearly didn't rehearse this as well as I'd like.
The thing is this. It's informative. The thought leader pieces are you know, designed to go out there as informational pieces. They don't have to be perfect. Obviously, you want to be comfortable with it, but it sounds like everything you're saying is succinct, so it's going to keep people's interest. Our main thing we've got to avoid is people want to go on for too long sometimes. And I think we just want to keep the audience interest. So we're always like, you know, be brief, be succinct. You're doing that. You're hitting key points. You want to do that question again, or do you want to?
No, let's move on. Is there a way we can do a direct playback?
No. I mean, what we'll do is we'll edit it and we'll send you a copy of it. And then,
if I'm really unhappy with it, we can redo a section.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. That's the best way.
All right. So let's move on to kind of what we do and how we're differentiated.
All right. So Tim, tell us, what is your role in the industry and how is 420 Tech solving this problem?
So I mentioned before, kind of my role is we founded this company, but I want to make it clear that we've got a lot of Microsoft DNA within our organization. I was a 17-year Microsoft veteran with responsibility for products from point of sale to embedded operating systems, and including some of the security features that are part of the modern Metro platform, Windows 8 and Windows 10. So we've kind of leveraged that background and the threat modeling and all of those things that software itself can do, at least at the application level, to protect the user. But when we get into the specific products that 420 Tech has brought to market, we do a couple things kind of simply, but they're important. You know, the first one is, I keep talking about access control. There's several layers of that. Clearly, the first one is that everybody that has access to the data, to our private parts, that we authenticate them. But the problem with that is that that's usually a password login kind of thing. And the challenge is everybody forgets that, because quite frankly, everything you access in the planet seems to have a password and a user ID and a password to it. So the tools have even got smarter that said, hey, let's just save your password. Let's just save that for you, so you don't have to remember that going forward. That creates a real challenge issue with if that device gets compromised in any way, shape, or form. So what we do is not only we force the frequent changes of that, it's a policy level decision that's set up by the entrepreneur that's buying our software. We give them guidance as to what those best practices are, but the cool thing is that we give them the ability to enforce it. Same when I talk about access control and specifically this device-centric, one of the other cool features we have is that any device that's accessing any of the data ports, whether it's a local client store within the proximity for the type of business that's in the space, or that's a cloud-based, if they decide that device has been compromised, we can block that device from ever attaching it again. We can wipe it. So the next time the device is powered on or any attempt is, the bad guy gets a bad news thing from him that says, it's all gone. The third thing that we do that's kind of interesting is encryption is one of the things a lot of guys talk about is okay, they've breached our system, they got access to our data, but it's all encrypted. Yeah, but if the data is valuable enough, decryption tools are available. So what we do is a little bit different. Not only do we apply the encryption methodology, but we also make the data in different stacks so that you have to assemble it for it to make sense. Programmatically, at design time, that's an easy thing to do, but it's really hard to reassemble unless you know exactly how the pieces fit together. And then the last thing that we do that I think is probably the most important thing, it's practicing what happens if you do lose control. You know, this industry is unique to anything else. If you can't stay open for business, it's not just you lose the revenue, but especially with the traceability requirements, you might have an issue with your personal liberty. It may be a legality issue based on your inability to access information that you have. So we actually conduct and lead, for lack of a better word, a fire. What are you going to do? You know, in the recent outages, a lot of customers, a lot of users have been faced with not an inability to access that information. So whether it's a crop that's about to be harvested and trying to figure out what they've already done and what state that it's in from a traceability, accountability perspective, or whether it's, I've got these patients out there and I need to serve them. And now I'm not really sure how to serve them in the past because I can't remember that far and my system is down. What do they do in those kind of scenarios? And we kind of walk them through and help hold their hand. Doesn't mean that the software doesn't have value at that time. It does. It's what keeps them open. We provide that easy checklist to follow, and it's part of every implementation for any one of the products that we sell.
Well, Tim, those are some great insights on cybersecurity issues. That's all the time we have for today, but thanks again. And any parting comments before we close?
You know, I will say this. I'm like a lot of guys that have transitioned into the cannabis space out of another field. And for me, it was all about being in the high-tech industry and delivering both business and consumer products that met the right appeal and met their objectives. And what's really exciting to me about being part of this space is that there's so much energy and activity going on. And the trick here is let's keep them all safe and help everybody make the money that they're trying to make in this space.
Tim, a real pleasure meeting you. I want to thank you again for taking the time to be on the show. And we hope to catch up with you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. We've been talking to Mr. Tim Belvin. He's the CEO of 420 Tech. 420 Tech was created to bring the most relevant retail technology to the cannabis industry while maintaining compliance with each state's reporting and regulatory requirements. To learn more about them, please visit their website at www.420tech.net. Thanks for watching the Cannabis Financial Network. And what I'll do is on the graphics, I'll have your website and I'll have that phone number on there for you.
Great, thanks. We finally got an inbound sales number.